Okay, so what number are we on this week?
Are we six?
Yes.
I put six. Podcast six there,
yes,
so I hope we are.
And you asked me yesterday, and I went, yeah, it's six.
Okay, so we start then.
Yeah.
All right.
Episode number six with Silk Fitness Therapy to get fit for summer. And Mike and Kate, how are you? You all right?
Good, mate.
Yes,
how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Yeah, good. Well, I'll start that again. I'm not with it. Shall I leave this in? Because I'm actually not with it today.
Yeah, go
yeah,
for
leave it.
It's
been
in.
A long morning this morning. Yeah. But anyway, less of me for a change. Today's podcast is all about, Mike, explain.
Strength training.
Now, the only reason why people, I think, would want to lift weight, strength training and all that kind of stuff would be to look better. It's an ego thing, because that's the only reason why I lift weights, because I want to look like I lift. I want to, you know, I want to wear a t-shirt and people go, look at your arms, shoulders, chest.
Yeah, but you're also doing it to lose some weight as well, though, aren't you?
Again, you know, do you lift to lose weight? I don't know.
Yeah, you can do. But I mean, I think the main thing for me is, like, who doesn't want to be strong? Who wants to be weak?
Never thought that.
You know, who ever, I want to be weaker.
Yeah.
No. You want to be stronger. You want to be able to move things. You want to be able to pick things up, pick your kids up, run, climb up mountains and whatever. You want to be strong, you know. So it's not, looking good is definitely an aspect. That's a byproduct of it. But I think for me, strength training should be fundamental in everybody's training, no matter the age, you know, no matter whether you're a teenager, you're in your 60s, middle age, whatever, it should be a fundamental part of training. And I kind of wanted to go a little bit more into functional, I've said it before, I hate the terminology functional training or functional strength. It's, you know, a lot of people think it's standing on a bloody Bosu ball doing bicep curls or whatever, but for me, if you look at the human body and the human movement, what functional movements the human body performs, you've got horizontal push-pull, so in, you know, push-pull motion, you've got a vertical push-pull, you've got a hip hinge, you've got a step, you've got a squat, and you've got a carry.
Okay.
These are all things that you do on a daily basis, subconsciously, you know.
Yeah.
You push things, you pull things, you hinge at your hip, you step, you carry stuff, and that's, in my opinion, what functional strength should be based around, is those specific movements. Now, for those movements, there's endless amounts of variations, progressions, regressions. There's so much you can work off with that. And like I say, for me, I believe that everybody would benefit from having some sort of weightlifting in the program.
Even if you've never lifted weights before and I don't want to use the term weak, but
new.
But
new.
You know what I mean? New
yeah.
to it.
Yeah.
And you can't
Starting
lift
out.
Very much.
100%.
Yeah.
And if you can get in at a gym that knows what they're doing and they can start you on the right path earlier, great. You know, some of like my favourite people that I train, I say people that have never done it before, got no bad habits.
Fair enough. Yeah, good point.
You know, so they can be moulded the way you are.
Yeah. Moulded?
Yeah.
Conditioned.
So so they haven't got any bad habits. They've not picked things up.
So weight, what do you call it? Weight training?
Is it? No? I just base it strength training.
Strength training.
Yeah.
Right. So that's...
It can fall into different
But what about
categories?
The people that don't want to necessarily be strong, or they just want to do it, you know, their own goal to be in the gym is to lose weight. Would lifting weights or strength training benefit losing weight?
Yeah. So, for example, if you... There's a few different studies and research on this, but for every pound of muscle mass that you have, I mean like pure skeletal muscle, your body burns around 7 to 10 calories per day to maintain that muscle.
Right.
So say if you gain 10 pounds of muscle, in theory, you'd burn an extra 100 calories a day to maintain that muscle whilst at rest.
So the more muscle you got, the more calories you burn.
Yeah.
Calories equals fat. No? Yeah, no? You burn more fat, no?
Yeah. Yeah, you have a higher energy expenditure.
It's more efficient at burning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah, so it can be used, again, as a tool to help weight loss. Obviously, also can... It's another way of expending calories would be to do weights. I think there's a lot of myths...
Yeah,
and misconceptions out there when it comes to lifting weights, particularly, and don't string me up on this one, but for from the female population.
No, it's true. It is true.
That they think that lifting weights is going to
make them
get big.
Yeah, I've seen on my social media pages where, you know, my girly friends said, "Oh, I'm not going to be lifting any weights in the gym because I don't want to look like X person, this person, that person."
Yeah.
So let's sort those myths out first. If you lift weights or do strength training, you are not going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger at the end.
No.
Not unless you are specifically training for that, you are eating for that, and you're probably taking the same gear that Arnie was taking.
Yeah. Gear means
steroids.
Steroids.
So it's one that, like, so for me, I train specifically to gain muscle and to be stronger. I eat to gain muscle and to be stronger. I'm 28 years old. My testosterone's fairly high. I think I'm quite hairy.
Yeah.
I still struggle to gain muscle.
Especially chin.
Yeah, especially my chin. Yeah. And I struggle to gain muscle still because it is a slow process to gain muscle. Very, very slow.
But are people genetically...
Genetics 100% to... play a role.
So somebody can gain muscle easier than person B.
Definitely. Some people can, yeah, definitely. So you've got newer lifters will typically put on muscle mass fairly quickly because they're new to it. They've not done it before. You've got people with good genetics. You've got people that are enhanced. You know, so there are different variables in it. It's not a one-size-fits-all job. So I think, yeah, it's a misconception that a lot of times, you know, people go, "Oh, I'm going to pick that weight up. I'm going to get instantly bulky." That'd be amazing. I'd love that. I'd love to be able to just look at a weight and get massive. And that has been said to me in the past. Someone has said to me, and it was a male, it wasn't female. They said, "I don't want to lift weights because I put on. All I have to do is look at a weight and I get big."
Okay.
I said, "That's incredible. Like, I wish I could do that." You know. So no, you have to be. The stars have to be in line, if you will. Particularly from females, they don't have high enough testosterone, and if they're not particularly training to gain muscle and eating to gain muscle, they're not going to gain that much muscle.
So what would happen to a lady that decides to start strength training and they're just eating healthily, not specifically higher protein, this, that and the other, just eating healthy, doing some cardio and adding strength training in there? What would happen?
They'll get stronger.
Yeah.
And there is a chance they will gain some muscle mass, especially if they're new to it, but they're not going to get big, bulky. Now, a lot of times when people, they say they want that, the toned and shaped look.
I was going to use the T word.
Yeah. There. Yeah. Tonely.
I don't know what toning means. All right. No. Do you know what I mean?
So for me, I noticed when I started weight training, and this is the only way I can explain it, I lost weight from it. And because I was losing weight, I was able to see more muscle definition, but that...
So you're not building muscle, you're revealing more muscle.
Exactly, I wasn't building it. I mean, look, I'm not huge, am I? I'm not big and muscly.
Exactly. Yeah.
That is my experience of it. That's the sort of a female way of looking at it, if you like.
Can I put it in a simple terms that somebody would, a lady would start to... Things would tighten up, body would tighten up.
Yeah.
And so you wouldn't get, can I use the F word, flabby? So you're not as flabby, you're not as wobbly, you're not as, you know, all those kind of things. You're toning, I want to say toning up again.
I don't,
you're losing.
You're losing body fat, yeah.
Fat, yeah.
Yeah. You're losing body fat, you're losing water. So I mean, when I say I don't know what toning means, when people say I want to shape and tone, yeah, it's like, what do you mean by tone?
I'm still using those terms now because I've just started my weight training journey.
Yeah, yeah. What people mean is they mean looking lean, looking defined.
Leaner. I want to look leaner.
So there's shape changes. You want your shape to change, so it's more defined.
Yeah. So what that is making sure you have a decent level of muscle mass and then burning body fat, like you said, so you reveal the muscle.
So are there different types of... Let's go through the different types of strength training. So... The first one to sculpt, no? Help me out here. What's the correct term?
I think you're meaning more like shape.
You cannot
shape a muscle.
Okay.
The shape of your muscle is predetermined by a genetic makeup.
Right.
So your muscle can get bigger, it can get smaller. It can maybe change shape if you snap it.
Okay.
Right. And it gets reattached in surgery, that might change shape then. But you cannot... Your muscle shape is already determined.
Right.
You know, like I say, it'll get bigger, it'll get smaller. It cannot be changed as such. But you've got more... Say if you're looking at getting muscle mass, you're looking more higher volume over a week. Yeah, I'm struggling with that one a bit. Go on.
Right. So you've got the one. So is it true, right, that you've got the different types of strength training, weight training? So if you lift heavier for... No, hang on. Let me get this right. Even I get confused. If you lift heavy for...
Lower reps,
that's bodybuilding. And you're getting bigger muscle because you're lifting heavier for shorter reps or lower reps. If you want to, again, tone or get tighter or, you know, sculpt or shape, to fat burn,
lower weight, higher reps.
Lower rate. Is that true?
Not necessarily, no. There are different rep ranges will achieve different results, but I think any program should incorporate all the rep ranges. So is a... not an average, what's the word I'm looking for? As a rule of thumb, you'd say between 1 to 3 reps would be classed as power.
Right.
3 to 6 would be classed as strength. 6 to 12 would be classed as hypertrophy, which is muscle building. And then 12 onwards would be classed more as falling into the endurance category.
Endurance.
Yeah. So I think every program should utilize all those style of training. Now, what we do at the gym, we have people that are on a 16-week training plan, so it's called a mesocycle. Within that mesocycle, there are microcycles, which are little blocks. So within that 16 weeks, we do 3 little blocks. Each block has a specific focus. So this is where I talked a little bit last week about, for my own training, different waves and different cycles, that kind of thing. So say, for example, block 1, we'll have some max effort days where we'll go heavy. We'll then do accessory work, which will be, so say like the first accessory work will be to focus on getting a certain lift up, so improving your squat, improving your deadlift or whatever, and then the next stuff will be more hypertrophy range, and then you might have some endurance stuff like a finisher, yeah, a bit of a challenge. So we're still incorporating all those rep ranges within a training session. You know, if you do want to go more, really more specific with it, and you want to be a powerlifter, an Olympic lifter, a bodybuilder, then your program's going to have to become a lot more generalised, I guess. There's so many different ways you can program strength training. It really depends on your goals, and it depends on a person's different individual needs.
I've forgotten the amount of times that I got told off in a gym because I didn't do any back work. Apparently, if you do too much chest,
you can create imbalances.
You can end up with my mate said a hunchback, but I don't
know. Yeah, you can. You can create an imbalance.
Yeah, because you curl over, don't you, with the tightness of the muscle at the front.
Yeah. So. Joe, again, I'm referencing Joe DeFranco, but he has, you know, his theory is for the amount of push work you do, you should double the amount of pull work to prevent that. So say
if you're doing a chest press,
yeah,
you need to do 2 lots of back work.
Effectively, yeah. So if you did, I don't know, 10 reps on a bench, it'd be 20 pulls. So, you know, whatever, spread that over a week. However much push work you do, you should double the amount of pull work. So, like, for me, in between every push that I do, I'll do, like, some band pull-aparts, I'll do some rear delt work or whatever. And that's mainly to keep your shoulders healthy and to prevent those imbalances from forming, basically.
What would be classed as all-over body strength training, all-over body workout?
Anything where you're incorporating... The fundamental movements, I guess. Like, so, if you wanted to, I personally think for people that just want general strength and fitness, they should include, like we said, the horizontal push, horizontal pull, vertical push, vertical pull, hinge, that kind of thing. You could do total body sessions every day and just change the exercise around for those movements.
Every day? So you could do strength training every day?
You could do, yeah. You could. Again, though, that does fall down to the individual. How good your recovery, how good your sleep, how good your nutrition. But yeah, I mean, there's no reason why I couldn't. When I was getting ready for my powerlifting competitions, I was training 6 days a week. But then I think for me personally, I think I actually probably prefer doing 4 days. I find my recovery's better. So I do upper lower splits. So I do, like, Monday for me is max effort upper body day. Tuesday's max effort lower body. Thursday is a more volume upper body. And Friday is more volume lower body.
What do you mean by volume?
More reps, more sets, nice. lighter loads, changing the, you know, maybe slowing down the eccentrics a bit. So there's more ways to gain strength than just adding weight to a bar. So you could add more sets, you could add more reps, you could do, you could add in pauses, you could slow the lowering phase of a movement, the eccentric, you could do some explosives to try and move something quick. If you're an advanced lifter, you could add chains or bands, you could do single limb work, so like, you know, Bulgarian split squats, single arm dumbbell pressing. So there's so many ways that you could vary and add strength without just adding weight to a bar.
Would you add strength if you did something called, I've never done this, I've heard about it, own body weight strength training?
Yeah, yeah, just using your body weight.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And that still had the same effect?
Yeah, pull-ups, dips, press-ups, yeah. Body weight squats, yeah, definitely, you can do. I think they're great for beginners as well, yeah, you know, get used to using your own body.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? And also that's stuff you can do anywhere. I think any strength training or weightlifting program should have periodized progression. There should be a plan. There should be, there has to be progression. You know, it can't just be going in and going, right, I'm gonna do chest today. I'm gonna do back today.
You need a routine then.
You need a routine. There has to be progression. Whether that progression is doing more reps at a certain weight, doing more weight, like I said, slowing it down, whatever, there has to be progression to gain in strength, to gain in size. You can't just go in and just do the same thing over and over again. You know, you can't just spin the wheel. There has to be changes.
What I did a while ago, and I don't know if it had any effect, but I'm not a personal trainer, not qualified like you guys are, but I was doing weights every day. So I was doing strength training every day. So every day I would, for example, do chest every day, but I'd do a different part of that chest. So I would do a chest press. So Mike, what is a chest press for? It's the front bit of your chest, isn't it?
Yeah, pecs. There's no back bit of your chest as such. Okay. There's two main muscles in your chest.
Yeah.
Chest, so, your major and your minor. Pec major, pec minor.
So what I would do, flat bench press.
Okay.
And then on the Tuesday, I would go and do some fly. Is it called flies?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, pectoral flies.
Yeah.
And then the following day, I'll go in and do some decline.
Yeah.
Chest pressing. So I'm doing a different one.
But along with other...
Along with other exercises, yes. But so then, on Monday, I'll do one lot of chest, shoulders, back, arms, legs.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday, I would go back and do the same, but different part of that.
Yeah, that's that kind of falls into like what I was saying about the different movements. So, you know, the horizontal push. Horizontal push is a bench press, or could be a bench press. It could be a push-up.
Yeah.
And then say if the next day you did a different horizontal push or a vertical push. So, yeah, it could be chest, shoulder. It's just worded a bit differently, I guess.
Right.
But, yeah, it's very similar to what I was saying, really, with that.
Could people, where do people go that are, use the V word, a vegetarian? That want to build some muscle, but they don't eat protein.
They do eat protein, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You can get protein from different sources.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I don't know this.
It's harder.
Right.
It is harder.
Kate's vegan, and Kate's built good muscle.
Are you vegetarian?
No,
I'm vegan. Yeah.
Vegan. Mm-hmm. Is there a difference between vegetarian and vegan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could do a whole podcast on
this. We could. Oh, okay.
Don't get Kate.
Don't worry. No, I won't. I won't get on my soapbox. No. So no dairy, no meat products, no fish.
Right. So how do you get your protein source?
So other plant protein. So.
Oh, right.
So tofu, tempeh, quinoa.
Would you be allowed a protein shake then?
Yeah, you get vegan protein shake.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's a whole new world.
They typically don't taste very nice.
I am still researching. No, I have found a couple of quite good ones. So, yeah. Yeah, so for me, because it is sometimes quite hard, depending on what my day involves.
It'd be more challenging, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you've got to think about it more. So I will add in protein shakes just to boost my protein intake, just to make sure that I am getting enough, yeah.
So you do get bodybuilders that are vegetarian or vegan?
Yeah, 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 definitely.
Oh, God, yeah. There's loads out there now. Yeah, it's huge now. Yeah, it is. And it's great. Do you know what? I can only say that I feel amazing on the diet that I eat. And that's, for me, that's all I need to say on the subject.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
But if you want to know more, I will gladly talk about it. So,
because I know vegetarian and being vegan is a big thing at the moment anyway. But we'll...
Yeah, I think because people are recognising the health benefits of it, and it goes back to what we were talking about the other week, that it's very, there's a big focus on it in social media. Plant-based diets are healthy for you. Coming away from animal fats, saturated fats are good for your health. It reduces a lot of, you know, illnesses, so diabetes, obesity, heart disease.
They're all things, well, that could just be sorted with being in a caloric deficit though as well.
Yeah, but a lot of them, you know, there's a lot of research that shows that plant-based diets do support, you know, keeping these illnesses at bay as well. So yeah, but you know, if you want to know more,
get in contact with Silk Fitness Therapy.
Let me know. Yeah,
Kate will talk you through it. Let's get back to the iron, obviously.
Yep.
Yeah, she's really cool. I sounded then.
I like that.
The iron. Yeah.
I watch a lot of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, as you can tell.
Is he a hero?
Yeah, he is a hero of mine. Yeah. So getting back to the iron, then, with some of the workouts, there's a lot. So we've touched on the toning version. Yeah, we touched on the bodybuilding version, and then there's another one that I want to touch on: compound movements.
Yeah, I feel, yeah, compound movements like squats, deadlifts, multi-joint.
That's it.
Yeah. Movements. Yeah, squats, deadlifts, bench presses.
But these are the other ones you can do every day because they're big movements, aren't they?
Because
they're doing multi-muscle.
Not necessarily. No, okay. They're more taxing on your nervous system, I guess. It depends on what load you're using. But you can do them every day by changing the load. You can definitely do them every day. I feel everyone should be doing the lifts, the compound lifts. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be a back squat. If you can't back squat because maybe you know your mobility is not good enough, you've got poor range in your shoulders, you could do a goblet squat. You could do a box squat if your hips are bad, or if you can't deadlift from the floor, which again, it's not necessary unless you're a power lifter. You could do a rack pull, you could do a trap bar deadlift. You know, you love your trap bar deadlifts, don't
you?
Yeah,
I do. Yeah, I need to touch on that actually. With the what's it called, the trap bar?
Yeah, trap bar.
That's the one where it looks like a go-kart. You stand in it, yeah, go-kart. And you lift it.
Yes.
From there, and yeah, you stand in the frame.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's also known as a shrug bar.
Shrug bar, right. Yeah. So past couple of weeks I've been lifting 100 kilos, wasn't it? 100
yeah, yeah.
Kilo. This week and the end of last week, I'm barely getting 40 off the ground again. Not 40, 20 off the ground again. Two plates.
100.
No. I was doing 100.
Yeah, you're doing 100.
Yeah, but then I've had to drop it right back down again.
So it's maybe 60 now.
Yeah, about 60.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but 60, yeah, that's right. I just haven't got the strength. Cool. I just haven't got the energy or the strength. And something's gone amiss where I can't lift it.
It could be fatigue.
You said you'd been busy.
Could be a build-up of fatigue. It could be your nutrition. Could be your sleep.
So that can happen then?
Yeah, of course it can, yeah.
So say, let's, for example,
yeah, exactly.
Say, for example, somebody's weight training, strength training, and they're feeling good. They've started their progression. They're lifting heavier for longer, and they're feeling good about it. And then out of nowhere, they just can't lift it.
Yeah, it could be neural fatigue. So it could be your nervous system.
Right.
So I utilize deloads.
Okay.
So deloads are a lighter week just to let your body recover, let your nervous system recover again, because it can take a pounding. So I'll utilize them. Depending on if I'm on maybe more of a powerlifting heavy, I'll probably do a deload on every fourth week. If I'm in competition prep, where I'll still lift, I'll still squat, I'll still deadlift, I'll still bench, but there'll just be a lighter load, a recovery load.
So taking a step back then? So if your progression has been really good,
you've
progressed really well, then you've got to start lifting lighter because you're struggling with it. Is that a step back?
No, it's not a step back. It's just allowing your recovery. I think with strength training, it can be two steps forward, one step back a lot of it.
Oh.
You know, two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step. You're still progressing. You are getting further ahead. Deloads. I think they're a necessity. There's only so long you can just go, you know, pounding the weights and whatever. You know, there's a guy who's trained that used to come in and go, I've been stuck at 140 kilo deadlift for ages. I can't get past it. But you try it every week. You come in and just try 140 kilo. Take a little step back. Program it properly. You can't just come in and keep trying it. What are you doing to get stronger at that lift? Instead of just, you know, you can't just come in and try and do it every time. There has to be a plan. There has to be progression. So you can work sub-maximally. So say, for example, a great program I used to use when I was younger was Jim Wendler's 531. So if anyone's looking at actually starting like any form of strength training, check that out online, it's great. So you'd use 90% of your one rep max. You'd then work out specific percentages based off that weight. So you're never actually working at 100%. The highest you will go on that first spot is 90% of 90%. Or it might have been 95%, I can't quite remember off the top of my head. So you'd have your starting point, which is 90% of your one rep max, and that gives you training max. The first 3 weeks, you know, you had a 5 week, you had a threes week, you had a 5-3-1 week, hence the name of the program. You then took a deload. After that deload, you added weight to that training max, and then you went again, and you did the same thing.
So what I need to do then is take it easy for a week or a week or two and just carry on deadlifting it, but doing the lighter weight, and then going again. Is that right?
Yeah, that. Just get a proper plan in place.
See, I'm not actually written anything down. I've just gone, right, I need to do this, and this.
I'd recommend anyone when they're getting into strength training is to have a journal. Make notes of what you're doing. Keep track of your progress. Keep track of where things have gone a bit worse. And, you know, even on them days, write down how you're feeling.
How you feel,
how you felt on that day before you went into the gym.
And also little things like sleep as well. Track if you or what you've been doing, you know, so you can start building a picture of what.
I mean, I do know my sleep is a bit of a mess at the minute. I don't know. Is it particularly muggy at night?
Yeah,
it is quite
warm at night.
I don't know. Something's gone amiss in my diet somewhere, and I don't know where it is. But I'm waking up in the middle of the night with stomach cramps and going to the loo for a considerable period of time, and it's always about midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And I don't know where that's coming from, and it's been like that for the past week.
Mm.
It's like my body's sort of gone, you're not sleeping now. I'm going to make you go to the toilet.
I'd say maybe see your doctor.
All right.
Great. I think there are some bugs going around
there. There are some bugs going about.
Well, the bug that I got wakes up at like midnight.
Yeah. It's that's really bug. Annoying.
Yeah. What else can we touch on weight training?
If you are interested in getting in strength training, either come down and see us at the gym. There are some great strength training templates online that you could follow. Bear in mind, they are some of them generic templates, but they give you a good start point. Jim Wendler's 531, Mark Riptoe's Starting Strength, Bill Starr's 5x5. They're all really good templates, and they give you a good start point, and they get you into the compound list, and they allow you to use that progressive cycle and help you get stronger, so you're not just coming in just guessing.
Mm.
You know, you know what you're going to be doing when you go in each time, you know, so... Yeah, you can do it like you were doing it.
Yeah.
Just working out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's no harm in that. But say if you do want to get your deadlift better, you can have to put a plan in place for it.
Right, yeah.
You know, let's see, how can we get that deadlift better?
Can we touch on DOMS?
Yeah.
Because can you train through DOMS? Or is it not advisable to?
Yeah,
it can. Because there's a lot of people, I remember when I first lifted years ago, I thought, hang on, I've pulled something here. I couldn't dress myself. I couldn't brush my teeth. Imagine being about 16, 17 years old, doing your very first weight session, and then you can't move. You can't walk. I remember when I squatted for the first time, I think I fell down some steps. Because
the
DOMS.
I fell into my wardrobe.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, through it.
So, do you know, is there a difference between injury pain and DOMS pain? Can you tell a difference?
Injury pain is typically you'll feel it at the time you've done it.
Right, so
typically.
Okay, so if this is taking a day to come on or overnight to set in, that's...
Yeah, so DOMS is delayed onset muscle soreness.
Yeah. And can you train through it, or is it not advisable to?
You can, if you are movement can actually aid the recovery process of DOMS.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say then try and go hard again straight away. But yeah, go and do some, improve your blood flow, increase circulation. Yeah, you can still train through it. Might just have to dial it back a little bit. So there was a big thing a few years back about people using auto-regulation.
What's that?
When they train, literally just going off feel.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, so their training was just based on how they felt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
On the day they walked in the gym.
Yeah, you could use an RPE scale. So the RPE is the rate of perceived exertion.
Oh, right. It's all very scientific now.
You can, you know, 10 is you've dropped the weight on your head.
All right.
Yeah. 9 would be you'd have a rep in the tank. So you could say maybe on one, you know, work into an RP8. Right. So you work into a point where you have 2 reps left. There's also another one, RIR, reps in reserve, which is effectively the same as RPE. Some people just find it easier to measure. So yeah, you could say, you know, on if you're really, really sore, just work at a lower RPE or auto-regulate yourself a bit better.
Wow.
And just go a bit easier. You can still train. You can still train, unless you are injured.
Over the years, I've begun to quite like the feeling of DOMS.
Yeah.
Now I do like that.
I know what you mean with that. Now, this is something we kind of have had at the gym a few times, is soreness is not the definition of a good workout.
I think you've said this on one of these podcasts before.
Yeah, do not have to feel battered.
Yeah.
To go, that was a mint workout.
Okay.
You can still leave feeling good and feeling like, I personally feel like you should leave feeling like you had a bit more in the tank.
Really?
Yeah, for me, I think that's
going
to be more optimal for recovery.
A lot of people do like walking out feeling that, though, don't
like
they?
They're going to be sick.
But I do like leaving the gym in the morning and, you know, I walk in and then crawl out. And then I feel like I can't do anything for the rest of the day. But believe it or not, the energy levels come back about 2-3 hours later and then I'm all right again.
Yeah.
So I'm not spent for the rest of the day.
No. Just got 2-3 hours of feeling like you want to curl up in a ball.
Yeah.
Yeah,
especially the drive home from the gym was always like, oh, I can't move the steering wheel. Oh, I'm too exhausted and all that.
Yeah.
I quite like that.
I do like feeling sore sometimes. I do like feeling a little bit of an ache. I do like sweating.
Yeah.
I sometimes feel like, especially if I'm doing cardio, I don't get into it until I start sweating.
Yes.
When I start sweating, that's like flick to switch. It's like, right, I'm up now.
And then
I'm ready.
You're really in the zone.
Yeah,
then,
I'm
aren't
in
you?
It. Yeah,
yeah, I am
sweating.
So I love
now.
That.
But how much you sweat, how much pain you're in, that's not a definition of a good workout kind of thing, you know.
Okay.
I wouldn't say wake up one day and go, oh, I'm not sore, I didn't work hard enough.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily mean that at all.
No.
You know, it doesn't.
While we're on the subject of shaping the, not the muscle, because we can't, can we? while on the subject of like weight training, strength training, shaping body.
Yes.
Sit-ups.
Go on.
Sit-ups.
What do you want to know about?
correct me if I'm wrong, they do nothing at all.
No,
apparently, everybody has a six-pack. Am I right?
Yeah.
But it's covered by a layer of chub.
It could be a six-pack, it could be a four-pack, an eight-pack. It depends on your genetics with that one.
But am I right in saying what I just said?
Everybody will have abs, yeah.
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 All right, cool.
The six-packs don't necessarily do anything. They will work the rectus abdominis, so the upper layer of your abdominals.
So it is worth doing sit-ups then?
Yeah, I mean, there's no harm in them. They're not like if you are carrying excess body fat, doing a shed load of sit-ups will not make your six-pack come through.
Yeah.
It will work their muscles. It will help their muscles get stronger, and their muscles being stronger does carry over into other benefits. You know, being able to brace better on a squat, which is going to help support your spine a bit more. So it will definitely have carryover. Some people that believe that doing weighted abdominals will actually increase the size of the actual muscles. I'm a bit thingy with that. You know, I've tried that in the past, but they never gain size. but yeah, if you want to see your abs, be in a calorie deficit for a period of time.
Yeah. You keep going back to the phrase.
Yeah, we will, yeah. It's just like head against the wall with it.
Yeah.
I mean, doing sit-ups, there's no harm in that. Don't think that is going to make you have a six pack from doing them, but yeah, there's no harm in sit-ups. I quite like sit-ups. I quite like leg raise variations. I really like plank variations. Mm. I find using more core stability work to be more beneficial for me and for most people, really. You know, something I don't think we've really touched on yet is like the benefit of strength training as you age.
Yeah,
nice.
You know, important.
It's really important. You know,
so the older you get, you should.
Everybody
use
should
your muscles.
Do some.
Yeah. You know, Kate's got some good stuff on.
Yeah, because you know, you start from the age of 30, isn't it? Your lean muscle mass starts to go.
From the age of 30?
Believe it or not, yeah. Women especially. Yeah, I know, it's young, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Right, okay.
So you're losing muscle, you're losing strength, aren't you? So, yeah, we want to be incorporating that.
Yeah, strength training helps improve bone density, so it does help prevent the onset of osteoporosis.
Oh, and arthritis, and then again, diabetes, and heart disease, and obesity, so and back pain. And
so strength training with the iron helps.
Yes.
Yeah. And a lot of medical things.
And it doesn't have to be like, you know, strength training, like heavy weight strength training.
It doesn't have to be a powerlifting.
So remember, if anyone can do it. So just rein it back in a little bit. But everybody should do it. 60, 70. You know, there's 80-year-old powerlifter I saw on social media somewhere along the line. But
also,
you know, there's people out there.
Having that base level layer of strength can really benefit things like if you go in to have like major surgery.
Yeah.
You know, we've got one of our members at the gym. She's into her 60s, and because she had such a good base level of strength, I don't just mean strength as in moving, bench pressing, squatting. I mean strength as in she could carry, pick things up, move things from A to B, that kind of functional strength.
Yeah.
It meant that after she'd had a surgery, her recovery was so much quicker.
It was amazing.
You know, she was running up and down stairs after having a hip done, like within weeks. You know, whereas if you get people that haven't, they don't have that baseline level of strength, it takes
much
so much slower. It's much slower.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a study on, I wish I'd wrote this down so I could not ruin it, but there was a study that showed something like training your balance. You know, we do a lot of balance work at the gym. You know, a lot of our stuff is single leg work, is single limb work, using each limb independently. And this study was, I think it was over the age of, this is going to go a bit morbid, over the age of, I think it was 70, if you have hip surgery or major surgery, there's a 75% chance of you dying within the first year.
What?
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they were saying that, you know, it's well, as you get older, your balance starts to go.
Yeah.
If you trip, you're less likely to be able to, you know, catch yourself. You're just going to fall.
Yeah.
So it's why they're saying that doing strength training and single limb work and stability work is so beneficial is when you're getting old. I mean, I will have to try and find that study and link it somewhere just to make sure I've got that right. But it was quite I remember when someone told me, I was a bit like, Jesus Christ, 75% chance of, you know, death within the first year after major surgery as you age.
That's quite frightening, isn't it?
Yes, it's why, you know, I think there should be, again, like we said at the very start, for everybody. Everybody would benefit from some sort of strength training, whether your goal is to just be a little bit stronger, whether your goal is to look a bit better, whether your goal is to be specifically strong for Olympic lifting, power lifting, you know, whatever. No one wants to be weak.
Or just even health. Your daily health.
Let's recap.
Go on, mate.
Strength training for ladies, you're not going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger or The Rock Johnson.
Nope. Not unless you really, really want to do.
Okay, yeah. Sure. And it's very beneficial for everything, even for when you get older.
Yes. Yep.
And you need to put it in. You do actually need to put it into your workouts at some point.
Yeah.
Whether it's just resistance on the machine or lifting, like heavy, if you want to.
Yeah. I would recommend looking into programming yourself. Or if you don't want to program yourself, come see us at the gym. We can do the programming for you. We'll take the guesswork out. But yeah, everybody should be doing it.
That was a long one today.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was indeed. Silk Fitness Therapy, Mike and Kate, thank you very, very much for today. What's on the agenda for next week?
Flexibility and mobility.
Oh, no, yours.
I believe.
I am rubbish on all of that.
Well,
I think I'm just absolutely terrible.
I'm going to touch on it a little bit of microdosing is one of my main ones with that one. I'll tell you about it next week.
Yeah. That's the cliffhanger. What's my producer and all that? Right, guys. Thanks very much for that.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks,
thank you.
Aaron.